Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless.
This is the best part of the day, right here. Today's message is called The Cost of Carrying the Cross. I've kind of prefaced it already because it's just so deep in my spirit. It is so incredibly deep in my spirit, and it does cost. And I want to talk to all of you all as a part of this journey with us as we are carrying the cross of Christ and moving throughout the earth in this amazing assignment that he's given us. And so I'm just telling y'all, some special folks, y'all that's following us and coming with us, just thank you. Just thank you for your time. But forsaking all things to follow him is and can be very much of a challenge. And I want to encourage, and maybe some of this will be encouraging and maybe it won't be. And I say that in a number of ways, because one of the things that people struggle with, I think, the most with coming across Christ and maintaining a relationship with Christ is the massive changes that takes place around their atmospheres, mainly within their family and their jobs and different things. Like, everything shift and shake, everything starts tumbling, and you're like, my God, I decided to follow God and it feels like my life has fallen apart. Like, when I wasn't doing this and going to church and when I wasn't connected to Flawed and Free, my life was good. All of a sudden, I said yes to God and yes to this ministry, and God starts shaking the tree. The tree starts shaking, and things start coming loose, and you're like, I don't know which way is up, which way is down. And so I want to talk to you about forsaking all to follow him. So there's a lot of things I'm going to read, but today, and as always, I'm going to give you scripture for you to take for yourself. Please read the Bible for yourself. Get revelation, wisdom, and understanding for yourself. Don't just take the things that somebody says is full-hearted and whole truth. God may add to that word and give you something that's specific for you, for whatever you have and you're going through in life. So I'm going to give a lot of scripture. Some I'll read, some I won't. Some you'll be able to just reference for yourself when you go home and watch the replay on YouTube if you want to watch the replay on YouTube. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 39. Matthew chapter 10, 32, verse through 39. I'm going to read it pretty quickly. Give y'all a second to get there. I'm reading out of several, I'll be probably reading out of several different versions, ESV, KJV, because this is not Bible study and just a reference to you. Typically, if you're doing like Bible study settings, sometimes people have different Bibles. We don't know what they have in the room. Always encourage them to bring a physical Bible if they have it. So people can start to learn how to find scriptures in the Bible, because at some point they will be getting rid of these digital apps, and they'll be doing a lot of stuff. We're going to have the Bible in our heart, and we're going to have that Bible buried in the backyard, wherever you got to put it. Get you one, bury it, do whatever you need to do. But at the end of the day, we need to know the word. So several versions. I like several, whatever you choose. I like the Amplified. I like KJV. I like ESV. But however the Lord leads. I'm not a big NLT fan. I'm not the biggest NIV, but hey, nor the Message. NASB is good. Amplified, KJV, NLT. So there's several that I would say yes to go towards. Some of them be doing a little some janky work. So don't let them get janky with you. But I always suggest that you read the Bible in three different versions. As you're studying, take the one. I always start with KJV. That's just me. I will always start with KJV, and then I go to other translations right from there. So pick three as you guys are ministering with people to partner with in Bible study. So everyone who acknowledges, I'm actually in the Word. I'm in verse 32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, there's a lot in there. And if you haven't read that scripture before, you probably like, I know you plan. I have experienced the most warfare from my own family. My mother, who's now passed, my children, my son, and many around me. And one of the first things that we notice when we began to truly carry our cross for Christ and become real disciples, where we go beyond being a believer and we become a follower. Because there's the difference between those that just believe. Half of the world will tell you they believe in Jesus. Atheists will tell you they believe. People that don't, I mean, there are many people, even demons. The Bible says that even demons believe. So being a believer is not a mark for being one of Christ's followers. Those that follow Christ, they obey. And there are signs of a believer, and we'll get into that in today's scripture. So when you sign up for the kingdom and you say, yes, God, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. See, it's one thing when you receive God through salvation and he saves you from the kingdom of darkness and you come into the kingdom of light. It's one thing to receive God in your heart, but it's another thing to make him Lord. When he becomes your Lord, he becomes your master. He becomes the bondsman. He becomes he owns, right? So you either become a slave to Satan or a slave to the Savior. It's one or two. There is no lukewarm in between. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There is no fence. The fence belongs to Satan. That's why he says that he would rather us be either hot or cold, because lukewarm, he said, I will spit you out. So you have to choose who you will serve, right? Joshua 24. You have to choose. The Bible says, choose ye this day who you will serve. And there are only two masters. There's the slave master of Satan, and then there's the same, a bond servant, right? You're a slave to the Savior. But being a slave to the Savior actually comes with benefits, gifts, rewards, riches, and inheritance. Okay. Satan ain't trying to do nothing but three things: steal, kill, and destroy. That's his only function. There is no other inheritance to get or receive from him. So be very clear that even Paul, who walked closely with Jesus, or Peter, right? We see Peter where he denied Jesus three times and he walked close. Right. Thank God for repentance. He became one of the most powerful disciples and apostles for Christ. But he says, if you deny me, I'm going to deny you before my Father in heaven. And so we have many people that deny the power of God, even when they say, yeah, I believe there's a higher power. I believe that Jesus exists. I believe this. I believe that. But they deny parts of him. They deny the deliverance ministry. They deny the prophetic works and the finished works of Christ. They deny many parts of who he is. And so this, the Bible says, well, a lot of people will say, well, isn't God love? Why can't I be a lesbian? Why can't I choose and do what I want to do? Why can't I be gay and love God? Doesn't God love me? He created me, right? And so there are different things that God speaks to concerning the sin of people. He talks about abominations. He talks about liars, thieves, fornicators, adulterers. The Bible says that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so abominations and corruption and defilement cannot reside in heaven, because there is no defilement. There is no perversion. There is no corruption. There is no double-mindedness. There is no lukewarm saints. There is none of that. You have to choose. So you either choose life or death. Right? There's no other choice. No one has an in-between place, right? Where some of the Catholics, I think they talk about, was it purgatory? You know, different things. Oh, this is a holding place. This is that. No, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. And so God is speaking to, in the scripture, man, he said, I did not come. Very clearly, it says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. So people see God as, well, he's a loving father. Why would he send us to hell? Why would we burn if God and you guys are always preaching that we're going to go to hell and we don't want to listen to you preachers and we don't want to listen to that, because God is love and God is peace. This scripture right here, read it. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And the Bible talks about the sword being double-edged. Right? Sharpens, cuts. It's a double-edged sword. He said, I came to bring division. Don't get it twisted. God's a God of love, but he's a God of wrath. Read Revelations. The problem with the saints of God is they don't fear God. They fear the devil more than they fear God. And so religion would have you fearing hell instead of fearing the one who gave life, right? The creator of life and heaven and hell and the earth, the creator of the universe. So we are to fear the Lord. I'm not walking around with my Bible forcing people to receive Christ just to keep from going to hell. But the Bible clearly says that he came to divide. He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother. So the strife that I endured, just me being transparent, because my story is my testimony. The strife that I endured as a daughter to a Jezebelic mother, the separation came because I chose Christ. And that was not what she chose. So some of us are trying to force relationships with people to remain, stand, and partner on our journeys as disciples and followers of Christ. And we're trying to drag people like Lot and Abram into a place that they don't even belong. God didn't tell you to take this person. He didn't tell you that. Oh, I want my mama to be saved. Oh, I want this person to be saved. Oh, I want this man to try to date me. Oh, I want the people at my job. Oh, I want. Yes, it may work. Maybe it doesn't work. But at the end of the day, there will be a separation. There will be a division. God speaks and says, and in the Bible here in Matthew 10, it says, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Boom, bow, pow. It will be enemies of your own household. The people with the knife for your back, and you coming to the altar and you're like, please pray for them. Now, I ain't saying, well, God said, so to heck with you, right? No, but I am saying that this is what God knew. He warned us. He told us. But he also says, whoever loves their father or their mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves their child more than me is not worthy of me. So I have three children, almost all are grown, with the exception of one. I've had to let my children go in the world. I had to put my children out of my home. I'm not happy. That wasn't my plan, but there was a season. I said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So when you start to receive or go through resistance and rebellion, and there's a clash of the titans between the Bible, the word, and all of that, and you say, well, I can't go to church today because I got, you know what, I can't do this, I can't do that because it's my child. What's going to happen if I don't make sure they eat? What's going to happen if I don't pay their bills? What's going to happen if I don't? You're in the wrong place. They belong to God. They were his first and he gave them to you. And understand and know that those that do not choose, it will divide you. It will separate you. And God has to come first. He has to come first. The order is God. If you are married, it's your husband. From your husband, then it goes down to the children, right? But there is, you don't put anything before God. God should be the head of your husband's household. God should be the head of your husband. God should be the head of your household. But even he says that your enemies will be from your own household. And so salvation is free. It don't cost you nothing to receive Christ, but it costs you something to carry your cross. The cost of discipleship is something. And that's what most of the body is missing. Because what we do is we got the once saved, always saved mentality, the Baptist mentality, right? Once you saved, you can live your life the way you want. You can turn cartwheels. You cannot have to go to church. You can cuss. You can smoke weed. You can, you know, do this, do that. You can do whatever you want because you already asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You gave him your yes when you was 5 and you got baptized. So the Bible talks about baptism by water and you receive God. And it don't matter what you do because you say, I believe that God came and rose, died and rose on the 3rd day. And that's going to get you a ticket into heaven. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. That will not. So sometimes relationships and resources and different things that around you will begin to shift when you actually decide to become a disciple. And the followers are disciples. So you got a lot of people that believe and they're just saved. Right? They just receive salvation. They have not gone beyond salvation through the process of justification, through the process of sanctification. And so they have not gone through the journey with Christ to become a disciple, which is a true follower. And so it's going to cost you. Discipleship will cost you something. It's going to cost some friendships, some relationships, some family breakdown, some boundary setting, some different. It's going to cost you. And so the Bible says that Jesus was of no reputation. And I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. It's also called the kenosis passage. It's called the kenosis passage. And so the Bible says that Jesus was of no reputation. This is something that I have talked to the Lord quite a bit about. Because as we get into kingdompreneurship, as we begin to build for God, as we begin to, hi, baby. Have your way, baby. As you begin to build brands, sometimes you begin to take ownership of something that ain't yours. And you begin to say, well, this is my house, this is my brand, this is my money, this is my job, this is my this, this is my that. You don't own nothing. Everything you got, God gave you. And anything you got, he can take from you. So at the end of the day, when you become the owner of something, that means you take responsibility for it. God is trying to put you in a position where you don't own nothing. If you know anything about generational wealth, one of the keys in building generational wealth is I'm also called to the marketplace. I'm a marketplace apostle. As you're called to building generational wealth, one of the major things that you will learn is you are to own nothing, manage everything. That's how you gain wealth. So nothing goes in your name. Nothing. And what happens is the really rich, the really wealthy, they invest in silver, gold, antiquities, insurance policies, things like that. Things you can liquidate, land, deeds, things like that. That these are the things. So, of course, in the Bible, we saw them having cattle, all of these things. And so we put a value on money. And then the believers say, well, I'm supposed to be impoverished and poor. I'm not supposed to have money, right? I'm not supposed to have these things because this is my service to God to be poor. Not true. Right? Not true. Well, the Bible says that it's money is the root of all evil. No, money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's the love of money. No, we're supposed to have some coins in the kingdom. And so as you learn how to grow and mature and you begin to see that our Father is rich, he has many, many mansions in heaven, that God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, like God, like literally, that everything God has, you have, that you have a righteous royal inheritance, that you're not supposed to be impoverished and indebted and in debt and all that. Thing. God said you're the head and not the tail, you're above and not beneath. God said, right, that we even here, there is nothing that we're supposed to lack, right? He said, my grace is sufficient. There is no lack. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven, there is no lack in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. There's no pain in heaven. There's no trauma in heaven. There's no corruption in heaven. There's everything that's in heaven is yours. And we're supposed to be manifesting the kingdom of heaven in the earth. That's how you take dominion in accordance to Genesis 1 and 26 through 28, right? Where he says he gave us dominion to subdue, to rule, to reign over the cattle, over the fish and the fowl in the air, right? Over to be fruitful and to multiply. God doesn't just add to your life, he multiplies. And the way that we receive the things of the kingdom is by getting it from the kingdom, because that's the root source of our wealth, our health, and everything else that we need. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, because you will never be righteous enough. You will never have enough. You can never do enough. You can never say enough to have what you need. So he said, come to me, because everything you need is in the kingdom. And in my righteousness, I will add these things unto you. But if you go back to Genesis 1, 26 through 28, that is speaking to the dominion of man in the earth. When he created Adam and Eve, right, they were called to steward, to manage. He gave and he created the garden, the trees, the fruit, and everything in there. So they didn't have to go to Kroger. They didn't have to go to Albertsons. They didn't have to toil the land for food. It was available to them. All they had to do was steward it. So the people of God are supposed to be managing and stewarding the things that God has given them. So discipleship, it will cost you. In Philippians 2, 5 through 11, hopefully you're ready for that. Paul describes in this scripture, I need y'all to hear me. I need y'all, because this thing is for real. This thing is like, when I was preparing, Paul describes Jesus's humility, because I started out talking about him being of no reputation. And I started talking about things that God was building and branding and giving and manifesting in your life. And sometimes haughtiness and pride will come, because as God blesses us and as God carries us into places, we think that we don't need God. John 15 and 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. God is talking. He always speaks to staying connected to the true vine. Right? We have to stay connected. So he speaks to pruning seasons and purging seasons and bearing more fruit in season. And we know what happened to the tree when it did not have fruit in season. Jesus cursed the tree. So we think things are not going well sometimes because the devil is in it and because the devil did something to you. Well, at the end of the day, God gave you a seed. He told you to plant it and you didn't plant it. And when harvest came, he came looking for his fruit. And God told you 5 years ago. God told you a year ago. God told you 3 days ago. He said, go to that church. He said, flawed and free, that's where I want you to be. And you said, I just kind of want a place where I can do ABC XYZ. Or God said, start that business. I don't have enough money, God. I don't have the right tools. I need more money. I need a building. God told me to start a church. Are we not here? When the building was gone, what did that mean? Did my mandate change? I went to God for the next set of instructions. The building gone, now what? You knew the building was going to be gone before I knew, because before I went in the building, I talked to God about the move. God said, you ain't going to be there that long. See, y'all didn't know that. I knew that. I just didn't know the day, the time, nor the hour, but he gave me a timeline. He said, you'll be there less than a year. That's what he told me. I didn't know it was going to be 4 months. I didn't know if it was going to be 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, but God knew. So when the time came, God said, your assignment's complete here. Go. So when God came to collect on what he said, and I moved in obedience, now my assignment was complete. Now I can move to the next place. God is speaking to a lot of us, and he's saying, just follow me and obey me. Because if you're a true disciple, you're going to follow him in faith, even when you don't know how you're going to get the money, even when it don't make sense, even when it this, even when it that, right? And you won't allow your mind, and you won't allow your fear, and you won't allow the lack of what you think you got and what you don't got to get in the way of what God said, because he said, my disciples, they follow my voice, my sheep, and they will not follow the voice of a stranger. So when God comes to collect, remember the story of the men with the many talents. One kept one came back. Your talent and your gift and your assignment is not for you to do what you want to do when you want to do it. Because you don't want to be like God in the wrong place when the rapture comes, when the horn, when the trumpet blasts. You don't want to be not where you're supposed to be. You don't want to be somewhere building your own stuff on your own time because you were comfortable. You don't want to be. That's why I tell people all the time, you can't just live where you want to live. You can't just go to whatever church you want to go to. You cannot do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want. You can't take just any job. You cannot. Now, you might be able to move and pay your bills, or you might be able, right? But you got to hear from God, and you have to follow him for everything you do. And people might not understand. Your family might not understand. Your pastor might not understand. Your best friend might not understand. Your spouse might not understand. People might not understand why you're going and moving and doing the things that you're doing. But because God ordered our steps, the Bible says our steps are ordered by the Lord. And so when you become a disciple, you lay down your comfort. You lay down but I don't want to do this, and this is hard, and this don't make sense, and this is too long, and I don't, you lay down your emotions, you lay down your, I had to lay down and let go, I had to leave my six-figure plus job, I had to leave the building that seemed to become comfortable to us in a very short season, and I had to go because us, we're sent ones. And the great commission of Christ, God sent them into Jerusalem, into Judea, into Samaria, into the outermost parts of the earth. God will send you to a job. Hey, you can't be at Chick-fil-A and God told you to go to Burger King. Now, Chick-fil-A might be a faith-based establishment, and it might make more sense for you to go to Chick-fil-A, but God might be sending you to Burger King because he needs you to be a voice in Burger King to the voiceless. And we all stiff-necked and tight. I don't think God would send me anywhere that would have me, they don't look Christian over there. They don't look saved over there. It looks like it might be a lot of demons and warfare over there. You know what? That church, like, they small. Oh, you know, she ain't got no husband. You know, this and that. You know, I wanna go to a grow group. I wanna grow somewhere else. God might not have called you there. God might not have called you to that job. God might send you into the club. Now, granted, let's don't get it twisted. Jesus did sit among sinners, but he did not conform to the sin of the world. So you might say, I'm not comfortable with going to a party. I'm not comfortable with this and that. And you're led by the Spirit. And then there may be moments where God will say, go ahead and go. Because you're the beacon of light that he needs there. Now, will you be the one to keep your mouth shut? Because I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to be the only one disagreeing. I don't want to be the only one where God meant to use you to shift the atmosphere. When you can become a disciple of Christ, you got to go where he sends you. That's my point. And it's going to cost you your comfort. That's my other point. So God exalts those who humble themselves. And so can you imagine? I just want y'all to picture this in your mind. Can you imagine Christ, who's divine, all powerful, to come into a fleshly body, how much that hurt him? He got a hunger. He got a thirst. He got to get tired. Now, as a spiritual being, he don't know what hunger, thirst, tired. He don't know what rejection. He don't know what Judas over there. They stealing coins. They, you know, he turning them over to, like, being betrayed, being disappointed. He was divine and perfect. And he gave that up to come into the earth. And you got the audacity to tell God where you ain't going to go and what you ain't going to do with your Holy Ghost Spirit filled, saved and sanctified self. Because you ain't there no more. God might call you back to the very place with the very people that you was partying with, that you were sleeping with, that you were laying with, that you was hanging out with. It's happened to me. And give testimony with how to follow him and to come out of where they are. And if Jesus could do it, and he could come into this nasty body called flesh and suffer and die, who are you as a disciple to say what you ain't gonna do, what you too good for, what you can't help? See, as a sent one like me, I don't mind going into the bar or the whatever. I've been in them. I've been invited to networking events that were actually in not a restaurant. They were actually in like a lounge. Guess what I did? I sat on a black couch, looked like this one, and I became counsel like Deborah. There was one girl that was an AKA in the room. I talked to her about denouncing and leaving. There was another girl that had just recently come to Christ, and I was standing at the bar talking to them. It was a nonprofit networking event, and I went there to support the leader, right? Mind you, I'm a whole apostle. And I didn't care who saw me going in the lounge. I'm in Houston. I'm in party town. I didn't care. I walked right up in there and I became a testimony. The place was, the lights were very dim. It was at night, so it was pretty dark. So I became the light in a dark place. I sat on the couch. I ministered to a man that wanted to start a nonprofit. I ministered to two other women. They were on the couch bawling and crying. Ain't even paying attention to what's going on in the room. One girl said, I just feel so comfortable. I don't know why I'm telling you all my business. She about to leave the man she went to choose God. I mean, she's like crying, bawling. And I laugh because can you imagine if I said, oh, I can't go there. What if somebody sees me? Oh, now what I did do was I went to the Holy Ghost. He said, go. I said, say less. Now what I didn't do was I wasn't up there drinking and having no wine. But guess what happened? One of the young men that I was ministering to, he had a drink in his hand. I started ministering to him. He got up. He started moving around the room. He came back and said, tapped me on my shoulder and said, ma'am, I opened my tab. Would you like some water or some cranberry juice? She said you didn't want nothing to drink, but if you want anything, I'll open my tab. You can have whatever you want. So here in the place, even though I didn't need to fit in for them to listen to me, I didn't need to fit in for him to minister. I sat right there, stood on business. No, I don't drink. No, thank you. But yet the Spirit of the living God moved this man to open his tab. And I said, well, I would like a cranberry juice. He said, say less. That man went there. I watched because I ain't forgot. He was right in front of me. He turned around. He gave me that cranberry. He said, if there's anything else you want, my tab's open. Just get it. I don't know how many cranberry juices you can get, but thank you. I'm sure it ain't probably maybe Coke, pineapple juice. I don't know. But God will open doors for you. In an uncomfortable place, he will make it comfortable for you. You will shift the atmosphere so much to the point where they conform to you, not you conforming to it. I just got an invitation from this beautiful man of God. He said, come back to the Hendry anytime you want. That's agreement. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? That's somebody who he said, I just thought I was just coming. I was just trying to, and I just stumbled up upon you. But you know what? I live here. You know what that means? What that means is this is his territory. This is his dominion. Because dominion is also derived from the word domain. And domain is a residence or an address. So just like you would purchase a website address, it's called a domain. And you take dominion in the place in which you reside. I don't live at the Hendry. I don't live in Garland. God sent me here. But what would God do? He would bring a young man into the room that would say, God bless you. Come here anytime you want. But because he lives here, that's a covenantal contract and agreement. He doesn't even know he gave me in the spirit that I already had by God because he sent me here. So don't worry about who going to be there when you get there, who not going to be there. Because God going to send the right people to solidify, to confirm, and to stand on what he said. You live here. Right? So how the Lord uses people to give, to manifest, to do. He already is positioning people for the work that you're called to. But it's going to require you to humble yourself, one. True leadership, I have come to know and I have come to learn and still learning, is coming down and entering into people's pain. I can never be so high and mighty and consecrated and called that I forget who I am, my identity in Christ, but I can't meet people where they are in their pain because Jesus does it. So when y'all see me weeping and crying and pouring, it's not because I'm trying to invoke a response. It's because I am extremely passionate about my walk with my Father. And it's hard for me sometimes to not show that. I'm like, for real. But it's like, Lord, I'm supposed to be praying. Lord, I'm supposed to be preaching. And I know the humanity of that. Sometimes people are like, it's okay. But I never saw some of my leaders' humanity. I thought they were so spirit-filled and sanctified and they knew so much of the Bible and this and that, that they didn't understand, nor would they be able to meet me where I was. I would be scared to say certain things when I was early in my walk because I was afraid to be judged. Not knowing that probably half of what I went through, they did too. So we have to humble ourselves because as leaders, we have to be able to come down so that we can partner into people's pain, serving from love and pointing people to God, not to ourselves, not to our platforms, not to our GoFundMes, even though I send y'all to my GoFundMe to sow, but that's not the goal. That's not why I'm here. I'm here for the souls, for the scattered, for the unloved, for the overlooked, for the unwanted, for the dismissed, for the left behind. That's this ministry. That's why it's called Flawed and Free. That's why God gave me that. I didn't make it up. He gave it to me. And it's trademarked and registered with the USPTO. So don't try. I will sue you. Branded. Registered. Somebody tried it. Send my lawyers on you. The name, the logo. So when y'all see this side right here, ain't gonna be another. It's like Louis Vuitton. Ain't gonna be another. That's it. But we gotta serve from love. And we gotta point people to God. See, we want to point to the anointing, to the call, to the bill. Oh, I go to this mega church, my church. So, oh, we got everything. Oh, we got smoking mirrors. We got smoke machines. We'll probably have smoke machines one day. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what God going to do, or how he going to give it to me. But understand and know, it's the real glory cloud in here. You're going to feel the real presence of God. You're going to feel the real Holy Ghost. Not a counterfeited version. People jumping around on a stage, performing. We talking about real presence. So even if Florida Free's on the stage, we're going to bring the presence of God in there and the weight of God's glory in there for real. Not in an hour and a half to tickle your fancy and to tickle your ear and give you a little 5-second word and walk you on out the door. No, I want to make sure you encounter God. I want to make sure you experience God. I want to make sure you lead, delivered, healed, and whole. Most of these churches don't even do prayer no more at the altar. They put a few people at the altar, little mega spots. They put 2-3 people there and nobody moves. You got a room full of 1,000 people in this room. You cannot tell me that these people ain't struggling with pornography, masturbation. They're not struggling with wanting to unalive themselves, with suicidal ideations. They don't have financial trouble and situations. They not being chased by demons at night. They not over here struggling with their identity. You can't tell me that it's 1,000 people in this church. And ain't nobody got the power to cast a demon out, to pray them through, to walk them through deliverance, to walk them through, to disciple them. Why? Because they bound too. You might have 1 or 2 people trickle down to the front, maybe, and get them a little popcorn prayer and pull off, maybe. You might get you 1 spirit-filled, saved, and sanctified woman of God at the altar, or you might not. You got somebody laying hands on you, ain't even consecrated. You don't know the bit more nothing about their life and what they doing other than the fact that they're a member of that church. They might be sinning or releasing a demonic impartation and you walking away. But most of the church will not even get up to go pray. They're not praying. They're not praying. You're going to get your song. You're going to get that word. You're going to get that tithe. You're going to get them announcements and you're going to get out the door. But guess what? You're just in time for brunch. Guess what? You're just in time to hang out with your friends. But the next week you come back still broken and bound. Over and over and over again till you just get tired. So we have to point people to God. We as disciples don't need to prove ourselves to anyone. Your identity and your worth is found in Christ. And Jesus never, ever hit the price tag to following him. So don't be mad at God because there's work involved to following him. Be honest with yourself. I'm just lazy. Be honest. It's too much work. reading your Bible, praying and fasting, serving, doing this, doing that. I just want to take a break. Can you imagine if God took a break from us? There's billions of people in the world. If God looked at you and said, I just want a break. Can I come back next month and serve? Can I take 3 months off? God show up every day. Why can't you? Selfish. Lazy. Be honest. Be honest. I just want to worry about me right now. I just want to worry about what I got going on. I don't want to worry about what nobody else got going on. I don't want to be accountable. I don't want to have to worry about what the ministry doing. I don't want to have to worry about what the people in Nigeria are doing. I don't want to worry about the people outside that's lost. I found my church home. I got my family. I got my Bible. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm saved. You was worrying about yourself. It's you. God help me. God heal me. God do for me. God give me. God. But you ain't even thought about that coworker that's sitting next to you that's going straight to hell that you could actually minister to and give testimony to. I just don't feel like it. I get tired of people talking about what they ain't. It's just exhausting. But you want God to minister to you, though. You want God to give you direction and clarity. But you ain't got nothing for nobody else. What if they don't receive me? What? Can you imagine if Jesus would have said that? God, what if they don't receive me? What if they don't listen to me? We don't listen to God every day. Did it stop him from going to the cross? Huh? Did it? You don't think he didn't know we was going to be disobedient? You didn't think he didn't know that we were going to rebel? Did you think he didn't know we were going to be lazy? Did you think he didn't know we weren't going to want to get up and pray in the midnight hour? Can you imagine if God said, this ain't worth it? They not going to follow me. It is not worth showing up on social media every day because I don't have enough followers. You still show up. Because somebody's showing up. And the one and the 100 and the 1,000 should be enough. Versus, oh, I want to go viral. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And they're not following me. Most of the world ain't following Christ. But he still got on the cross. So when you came to Christ, repent. If you thought he was going to become your sugar daddy and not your Abba daddy. Huh? Who I'm talking to? It's real quiet in here. Talking to me too. He gave me the word before he gave y'all. I didn't already repent it. Y'all like apostle talking right to me. Yeah, he talking to me too. How you think I got here to give it to you? I said, ooh, clutch my pearls. Ooh, Jesus. You show right. I'm still typing. Jesus, I don't know if they coming back after tomorrow. But I'm going to get a word anyway. I didn't come to be liked. I didn't come because of my reputation. I came because Christ sent me. Let's get back in the word. Luke chapter 14, 26. I usually have people read. I'm just going to read real quickly. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Jeez. Did you leave anything out, Jesus? Oh, I don't see the dogs and cats in here. The birds and stuff. But yeah, they love their dog. People love their dog more than they love Jesus. He said, he cannot be my disciple. Ugh. Oh, that hurt. You can't, I can't be your disciple, God. He said, no. When you see the word hate, I literally went to God because I was like, I gotta hate my mama. Like, I know that can't be. I know that ain't what this means. Sometimes we see things so literal. Sometimes they're very simplistic and they are just what God said, what he said, period. I am the I am. I am. Period. Right? There are some things in the Bible that are very literal and very simplistic, and we overanalyze it. But even this scripture, this word, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother. And I was like, dang, hate, hate's a strong word, God. I went through a couple of versions. I still see it. I said, they didn't even take this out. I said, okay, God, help me out so I can help them. Because what I don't want y'all doing is going here saying the apostle told y'all to hate y'all people. Because that ain't what I said. But the Bible says, hey, but what he's saying is, it's not the hatred in an emotion. The Bible says love what I love, hate what I hate. What God is saying is, this is not the emotion of hatred. But as I was studying in rabbinic teaching, rabbis in the Bible taught, and they had students. Jesus was a rabbi. Many of the prophets, right? Right. In rabbinic teaching, meaning rabbi teaching, hate can mean to love less or to pale in comparison, to prefer over one thing or another. It's not the actual emotion itself. It's a contrast. It's a metaphor. Because you either like something or you don't. You love it or you hate it. Like, even in black culture, we be like, love me or hate me. Either way, I'm finna be me. Right? I said that. Y'all didn't say that. I said that. Right? But basically, what I was saying was, with my prideful self, was, it's one or the other. Because if you love something, you either love it or you hate it. And it might be mid. You know, we got different labels these days. You know? But God moves in black and white. Black and white. It's either me or no. Don't play with God. He a G. He a G in these streets. You mad at God, but that ninja you was talking to, he said it's either me or him. And you was like, it's you. You chose him. Choose God. That was a quick choice for you. Y'all over here mad because God said, choose me. Choose you this day who you will serve. You got your fingers, your hands on your hips. Like, I got to choose? Yes, you do. Spoiler. So that's what that means. It's a preference. You prefer. You choose. The cross, the rappers thought it was jewelry. Even Diddy had a cross on, and he was the most diabolical. Y'all watch that. I said, why do you have a cross on, sir? He's carrying the cross, but he ain't. It's just jewelry for him. He wearing that part. He ain't caring. That's a word. That's a word. That's a word, Alexia. She said he wearing, not carrying. But when you carrying the cross, this is not something that you are to admire. God said carry it daily. That's in Luke 9:23. He said carry it daily. So this is why people bother me when they be like, I don't want to do this today. Can I do this tomorrow?
next week, next month.
I don't like the up and down. Because it's like, it's double-minded. It's like, I want to be a follower of Christ today, but not tomorrow. I don't like the convenience that people do with God. Like, when times are good, I'm going to follow Christ. But when times get hard, I'm going to leave. When it becomes too much work, I'm going to fall back. And then when I feel like getting closer to God, then I'll come back. I'm not a big fan of that. Me personally, it's my personal kind of thing. And so I usually kind of, you know, of course I pray for people and I'm grieved because I know it's some sort of demonic thing. Like it's something that they probably need deliverance or whatever. But in my head, I'd be like, that's just not okay. You know, how can God trust us when we picking stuff up and putting stuff down at will? Like at will? I wouldn't want to be him because you think you, like even in the ministry, like if I put something in your hand and tomorrow you'd be like, well, yeah, I don't feel like that. You gave me instructions to do this, but I didn't want to do it. And it shows in your actions because it didn't get done. And not because you couldn't do it, but sometimes out of pure rebellion, like I just didn't feel like it. And I'd be like, is that how y'all be doing y'all bosses at y'all job? Is that how y'all be carrying the cross for God? Like, at some point, we got to be accountable to the wavering in our minds and in our movement. And we got to repent for that because you want a house and a mansion and millions, but God's watching this you stewarding over. How are you going to build for God? And he got something bigger for you than he got for you here. And you just picking and choosing. I think it was you I was talking to about church. No shade. But I remember when I was a immature believer, not even a follower. And I was just excited about coming to church, like having a church. Okay, I checked that off my box. I'm actually connected and joined to a church. And then I would go to church when I wanted to. When I felt low, when I felt down, when I felt like I needed a jump start, when I felt like I needed a tune up, when I felt like and was wondering why my life wasn't moving forward. And I remember when I was like, well, I don't feel like it today. I think I just want to just sit at home today. I think I'm going to go run errands and go to the grocery store today. And in my mind, I thought, that was real crazy of me because how could I think that I didn't need God every day, let alone Sunday, where the time to gather and fellowship, how was it that I thought that there was a choice? Because we're just like that as people. It's like, yeah, I go to church. I got a church and I pay my tithes, but I'm gonna come when I feel like coming. The audacity. Show up for God in the good, in the bad, in between seasons. Show up for God. You never know what might be waiting or who might be waiting on you. What if it's not even about you that particular Sunday? What if God had you sitting next to somebody who actually needed you? But God could not use you as the vessel because you got your feet at home with your feet crossed. Because you wanted to watch TV or you wanted to go hang out with friends because not this Sunday. Maybe next Sunday will be better. I used to do stuff like that. Oh, I got to go to work, especially when I was working. Last week was a rough week. So this Sunday, I'm not going to. Now, I could do everything else come to Saturday. I could run around. I could do this, that. But when Sunday came, that's the day I'm going to choose to go grocery shopping, to wash my clothes, to watch TV, to do it on Sunday because I need a break before I go back to work. Not even allowing my vessel to be yielded to the will and the work of God. My feet to move for his. That's disciples. We show up no matter what. My mother died 7 days ago, today. While my mother was passing, I was on assignment at one of our church members' house. That's where I was last. Everybody else was off. I gave everybody a day off. I was doing and partnering in deliverance in someone's home. I didn't need the church to do that. I didn't need a building to do that. I pulled up and went to her house on my day off. Quote, end quote. Can you imagine if I would have said, well, this is my day off, God. You told me to give January 4th a Sabbath for the team. And I'm going to tell her I'm going to come on Monday. I'm going to tell her I'm going to come next Sunday when we come back on the 11th. No. As a disciple, I got in my car, put my purse on, put my backpack on my day off. Because it's not about me. And every one of us that are disciples need to have that. That you're not doing it for your apostle. You're not doing it for your pastor. You're not doing it to not be talked about. You're not doing it to check the box. Because your heart posture is nasty. And it's selfish. And it's lazy. It cannot be all about you every day of your life. The Bible says in Luke 9 and 23, he said, carry it daily. That means every day. Spoiler, not when you feel like it. Every day. You show up. You show up for people. You show up. You be accountable no matter what. Why? Because your calling is at stake. And the person on the other side that's called to you is waiting on you. And if everybody understood your calling, you probably don't have one. You're still trying to prove to your family that you've been called by God. Stop. Stop trying to prove to your family and friends and people why you're following Christ like this. Stop over-explaining. Stop having these conversations with people that don't want to be nowhere you at and nowhere where he is. You put your head down and you pray to your Father and you say, what next? Where you want me to go next? What do you want me to do next? Because if everyone understood your calling, it wouldn't be a calling. I can share the vision. I can impart wisdom and parts of the plan, but nobody in this room is going to understand this calling on this ministry like me. So I'm not here to make you understand. I'm not here to force you to walk with me. I'm not here, and Christ doesn't do that with us. So you're going to have people that are going to be part of your plan in your building. They're going to be part of your yes. They're going to be part of that. And you're going to have people that are going to walk away. That's life. But your calling does not change. It does not stop. You don't stop moving because they don't understand. Or this is, they can't, they don't have the capacity. Or they don't have the desire or the want or the will. The calling don't change. And so obedience and being obedient to the work through the discipleship will cost you these relationships I'm talking about. It will cost you. There will be division in your family. That's biblical. That's not the devil. Sometimes it is the devil a part of the process, but it's biblical. So know what you're saying even when you're praying. And talking to the Lord, because the Bible speaks to division. Luke chapter 12, 51 through 53. Whoever has it, somebody jump up and give it to us. Luke 12, 51 through 53. Stop right there. Say it again.
Do you suppose Do you suppose that I came
it's to, still not.
To grant peace?
Say it one more time because the mic's not working. So the people, I will pause for you to figure for us to get that working. That's a fine. I don't care. I just whatever we can get up is perfectly fine with me. Because the people that are watching online might not hear her on the other side of the wall. Is it louder for me? You don't have the mic.
Do you suppose?
There you go.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Do you
we'll
suppose
wait.
That I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division.
Keep going, please.
For from now on, 5 members in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law.
Again, I won't go too much further in that because I that's what I was explaining. It's biblical. He said he did it. Because if you're not rocking with Jesus, you ain't rocking nowhere. He said, you thought I just came to bring peace? He said, no. No. I'm separating the wheat and the tares. That's what that is. The remnant follower, this ministry is we are called. I know who's called to minister here, to be a part of this ministry. I know who we're called to speak to. We are called to the remnant believer, not the lukewarm, not the one that's looking to the left and to the right. But we are called to the remnant believer, and that's okay. That don't make us better. That don't make us the best. That don't make us the worst. That don't make us the only. Right? But I understand that there are things concerning my metron, my apostolic mandate and movement that does not meet the needs of certain people. And maybe it's not forever. Maybe it's in certain seasons. So I've had people who have come in other seasons and said, nah, this ain't it, and come back, right? And they'd be like, now I'm ready. You know, and so again, people are in different parts and portions of their movement and their yes to God and their agreement and their will. So some people just don't have the tenacity, the capacity, the compassion. They don't have it. That doesn't make them unbelievers. That doesn't make them not called by God. That doesn't make them, right, not seen by God. It doesn't mean any of that. But we have to know that certain things God will separate, God will take away, God will do, and he will allow to happen because they are not meant to walk with you. They're not meant for the call or the assignment or the mandate upon your life. You might befriend someone who's a good friend to you and you really like them, but they're just not on what you own. Does that mean you can't be friends? No. But there will be division. And this is something in Luke that you will see the exposure of the hearts of people. God will expose the hearts of those that's with you and those that's not. God will expose the hearts of those that you love and those that you're trying to carry with you into seasons that they don't belong. It might be your mom. It might be your spouse. It might be, but he will expose the heart. Blood relations don't always recognize spiritual assignments. Just because they're your blood or your husband or your friend or your cousin or your sister and you grow up together and y'all play Legos together and y'all were best friends and all of this does not mean that they're going to recognize your spiritual assignment. So it's okay to walk away. It's okay to let them go. It's okay to move on. It's okay. Let them go. This is biblical. Even Jesus's own family misunderstood him. John 7 and 5, read it for yourself. Even his own family, it says for neither did his brethren believe in him. They didn't even believe in him. His own family. So sometimes, hear me, people of God. Hear me. Sometimes the loudest critics are sitting at your dinner table. That's just life. Sometimes the ones that are speaking the loudest and the most are sitting at your dinner table. Why you go to that ministry? It's a woman apostle, pastor, and it's your mama. You gonna hang your head low? Or why are you going? Didn't you just go to church Sunday? You gotta go back on Wednesday? Oh, every time I call you, you doing something with your church. You finna go over here, you finna go over there. Y'all outside, y'all doing this. I don't know about the casting out demons things. That's spooky, that's weird. All that supernatural, spiritual stuff, that's just too much. It's just too this. It's just, how are you seeing in the spirit? What you mean you saw angels? What you mean? That's just doing too much. And you over here cowering, like, well, maybe I didn't see, or maybe I shouldn't say nothing, or maybe I shouldn't. Know who you labor amongst. Know who you labor amongst. Love them, but leave them. Love them, but know that you can only go so far. Love them, because God loves us in every season. So you love your people, your family, your friends, your whatever. You love them in every season. Maybe they're not following Christ today, but they might be on fire next month, next year. But in this particular season, or whatever season you're in, understand that this is my time and my season to follow Christ. And even if you don't know my assignment and you don't understand why God called me to this place, why I'm doing this, why I'm getting up in the midnight hour, why this is important to me, why this is a priority in my life, why, then that doesn't make me less and it doesn't make him love you less. It's just that in this season, we can't walk together in the same manner. How unfortunate that Jesus wasn't even crucified by the atheists. He was crucified by the religious leaders. Everybody crying, church hurt. But did it stop Jesus? Can you imagine if church hurt would have stopped Jesus on the cross? His own people turned on him. Well, I don't like this pastor. I don't like that church. I don't like that prophet because I was hurt by them. So you halt your work in Christ, your move in Christ, your next in God, because some pastor, prophet, apostle, teacher, some name church, somebody did something to you. So you now stop your own movement. Your own maturation spiritually, your own destiny, because somebody said and somebody did and somebody hurt and somebody made you uncomfortable. So that's why I don't go to church no more. That's why I don't pray. That's why I don't like deliverance ministries. The last deliverance ministry I went to, what? Jesus was crucified by his own folks. Handed over to Pontius Pilate by the Pharisees. Even Pontius Pilate himself was looking at the religious, the Pharisees, like, are y'all for real? It didn't even make sense to him. Pontius Pilate. It didn't even make sense to him. He was like, this how you do your folks? They let a murderer get free before Jesus. He was like, wow, y'all some wild ones. But what they say today, that's some nasty work. That's some Pontius Pilate said, that's some nasty work. Dang. And guess what? He was like, I don't want to be no Christian. I bet he was like, I don't want to be. That's some nasty work. I've been done the worst by some of the church. But I'm still here preaching, prophesying, delivering folk. I've been done some of the worst by my mama, kids, husband, people with names and the worst. I've had strangers treat me better. And I said, wow. And so here I am asking God, I want my ministry to mimic and mirror yours. And I got slayed. I got slayed. And I said, whoa, doggy. Oh, Jesus. And I just cry. Oh, Lord. Girl, you're the one who said, I want to be like you, Jesus. One of my spiritual counselors, that's actually her nickname for me, Jesus Jr. She calls me Jesus Jr. The time I spent in prayer and my consecration, she says, there's very few people I've met. She was actually a partner with Miles Monroe, you know, and things. And she was like, you are one of the 21st century prophets. I promise you, they're very rare. That are very rare, right? And she teases me all the time. She would call this one and she'd be like, where your mom at? You already know where she at, in that prayer closet. I'd be praying. I'm sun up to Sunday, I'd be in there praying, minding my business, being quiet, praying. They might not see nor hear me for days. And she would say, will you tell, because I know she's talking to Jesus, will you tell her to tell Jesus I said, hey? And she would be like, she said to tell you to tell Jesus hi. I'd be like, okay. And I'm going about my business. But nonetheless, God himself was mocked. I have been mocked. God was stripped. They put a crown of thorns on his head and they teased him. You the king, huh? And he was. He was exactly what they said he was, and he took it. And he took it. And you over here mad because they mocking you. Oh, Jesus. My family talk about me. They talk about me, Jesus. But one thing I love was every time I go to God, he'd be like, I understand. I went through what you're going through. And then I just cry. I don't know if I like this. I didn't even want no church. So sometimes I get a little crazy. I'd be like, I didn't ask for no church. I didn't ask for this. You wanted me to be the church. He said, because I need it. He said, I needed you to create a safe space. I need it. And I was like, oh, why couldn't I just do what I was doing? He's like, no. So I'll just sit there and hold my head down. I'll be like, yes, I understand, God. Okay, I'm going to do it. But I was like, it's so hard. I didn't want this. And I just cry. God be like, I get it. So we got to carry these crosses. We got to carry them. We got to build what's never been seen. I'm an apostle. We build. The Noah anointing to build. You got to build. We build in the church. Right now, we already are the church. And one day, people will be like, oh, I remember we was in the Hendry, in the thing, right? We in a building. Everybody going to be looking around like, oh, God, here we are, right? So the Noah anointing, God is calling us to build by faith. By faith, Noah built. But it was obedience before evidence. It was obedience. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Why is that? Because the obedience is what prefaces. God needs you to move in faith so that you can see the evidence. Right? But you have to have faith. When he was building the ark, there was no rain. It used to be a mist that used to come out of the ground. There was no rain. They had never seen rain. There was no flood history. There was no weather reports. So what we're building, even at Flawed and Free, has never been seen. The blueprint that I got, if I was to tell y'all right now, you would be like, I know you playing. I'm getting more and more of it by the day, but what I have right now is mind-blowing to me. And I'm looking at God because I have no model other than the Acts 2 church. And I'm like, but this is the greater, the latter days. So I'm like, this is bigger than the Acts 2 church, actually. So I'm like, and he's like, I called you to be a pioneer. Oh, no, no. Right? And I'm not mocking God. But as he's speaking, I'm like, oh, they're going to talk about me. They're going to be like, this girl's crazy. This is too radical. This is too much. This is too, like, oh, that's, who wants to go to that church? Who wants to go there? They all over the place. They unstable, right? But it's literally the word of the Lord. But I have to be obedient to it, even when it looks crazy to the world. But before the evidence of revival, before the evidence of our new church home that's coming soon, there was no rain. There was no flood. There was nothing but what we see, but it was just a word from God. It was just a word before it became evidence. And so when you're building something that you've never seen nor heard, it feels foolish. And I've had my moments of looking at God and like, why? This feels foolish. Why can't I just wait to get the money to get the church building? Why can't I just wait on this and do this instead? Why can't I just go online like I used to be and do Sunday services from my house? You know, like, and that worked. I mean, it worked, right? And then you can just send an angel investor and then we can go purchase the building. Why do I have to do this? And so the building and the process and building looks foolish. So God's going to call you as his disciples to build something, to build your home, to build that business, to build something, and it's going to sound and feel foolish until it starts raining. Clock that. Until it starts raining. Can you imagine if Noah didn't do what God told him by the word when the rain came, how silly and foolish he'd have looked then? Would you rather look foolish, flooded, and drowned? Or would you rather look foolish now? Call me the fool of all fools. Because, baby, she meaning me, meaning her, is finna show up. Two people, five people, 20 people. Nobody at all. Because this is obedience. The evidence is coming. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 25. You're good. 1 Corinthians 1 and 25. I'm almost done. I know I'm giving y'all the Baptist clothes, but it's coming. 1 Corinthians 1 and 20, because I want to pray for y'all before y'all leave. Don't leave here until I can pray for y'all. Yeah, talk about the saints ain't getting no prayer and y'all leave with no prayer. 1 Corinthians 1 and 25. 25. Read it, please.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
Say it again.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
Say it again.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
Amen.
And the weakness of God is stronger than men.
That's the word, baby. That's the word. Oh, baby, I'm going to give you that word and the scripture and all of it. You're going to turn 8 cartwheels before you leave up out of here. Because I'm about that life. Yeah. I said, oh, 100 and some years Noah building that ark. And then people laughed and mocked and da-da-da-da-da-da-da till the rain came. Till the rain came. What did he do? He followed the blueprint. Can you imagine building a structure so massive that you've never built, that's never been done, and you put giraffes and elephants and wolves and cats, sheep, dog, and it don't sink? How did you even know the scientific ramifications of building such a massive structure to handle flood, rains, and waters to not sink? He didn't have no university to go to get this information. He got it from the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit started giving me the download and the blueprint for what we're building at Flawed and Free, as we're waiting on the evidence of the building and revival, because that's what we're here to do, right? I'm sitting here like, yes, I'm the only one and maybe few in the world doing what I'm doing right now because it wasn't given to them. It was given to me and whoever else that's going to rise up in this hour and bring revival to this region as one of the catalysts that will manifest the biggest move of God in preparation for the second coming of Christ. Yeah, it don't look like nothing now, but it never looked like anything anytime anybody did anything for God. He said, but for the foolishness of God is wiser than men. I said, oh. So when they tell you you look stupid, you look crazy for leaving your job to serve a ministry full time with no paycheck. When God told me to leave, I was leaving and going to full time ministry, and I was going to leave my 6-figure plus job to work for free. My family thought I was foolish. How you leave all those degrees? I just don't understand. That's what I got. I just don't understand why you can't work as a nurse practitioner and do your church stuff. And you better believe ain't not one of them helped me. Because they wanted to see me fail. The heart posture was, you say it's God, I'm going to show you it's not God, so that when it fails, I can tell you why it was foolish. Well, 7 years later, we still here. 7 years later. And they still looking. They just kind of scratch their head now. Like, I just don't even know no more. Like, I bet. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Imagine Noah's neighbors asking, what in the world is that? What are you building? There's no rain, ain't no flood. And Noah saying, I don't know yet, but God said build. Ask yourself that question. What did God tell you to build? Do you know? I don't know. Sometimes my team be asking me questions. Well, how are we this gonna puzzle? How are we gonna do that apostle? Where's that gonna be? Where's that gonna go? Where are we gonna put the sign? Where are we gonna put the where are we gonna put the laptop? I said, I don't know. God said go. And they be like, okay, we're going. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I don't know. Some things I know, some things I don't. I don't know. He just said build. He just said go. So we go. So my question is to you. Will you carry your cross for Christ? Will you carry your cross? We closing out now for real. When your family misunderstands, when grief is fresh, my mama ain't even been buried yet. When children and people mock you, when the work feels impossible, when the work feels literally impossible, when the ark looks foolish, will you still follow him? Or will you tuck tail and run? Will you go to what's comfortable? Your destiny is at stake. It might work over here. It might work over there. You might still get to heaven going to another church. You might still get to heaven being a believer or follower. You might still meet the mark. But did you really fulfill your destiny? Did you? Because you limited the move of God, because you felt like what he asked you to do was impossible, was too hard. And so God said, okay, this is actually what I had for you. But this is what you'll get because you aren't willing to do the work, to trust me in the move. The Bible in Matthew 16:24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So there is a cost to the cross. Following Christ is costly. The oil cost is going to cost you. Your job, your comfort, your money, your mind, your family, your yes, it's going to cost you. And if it don't cost you nothing, you ain't doing nothing. If it don't cost you, because it cost him. How in the world, if it cost Jesus his life and he did nothing, how are you going to receive the righteousness and the inheritance of the kingdom of God and it not cost you nothing? No midnight hour, prayer, fasting, no nothing. You just going to walk up in the kingdom of heaven and cross your feet and do nothing. And it cost Jesus his life and he did nothing. Whereas you are full of sin. You deserve hell, fire, and you don't want it to cost you nothing. Everybody wants the free 99. They want as much as they can get for as little as possible. That's the world we live in. If it costs me too much work, if it costs me too much of my sleep, if it costs me too much of my money, if it costs me too much of my time, if it costs me too much, I can't do it. So what are you willing to give up? Will you still follow him? Will you still do it? You're not crazy. You're not. Because it might even seem crazy being here. This ain't normal. This ain't church as usual. But this is what's required in these end times. God's tired of the fakes and the frauds and the fronts and the facades. God's tired of the Facebook front, and he's tired of the Sunday brunching. He's tired of the birthday stunting. He's tired of it. That means more to you than he does. We'll spend 6 months planning to show up for something. Concerning that, our time, energy, money, and everything else. But when it comes to investing and expending more energy than we think is necessary, that's just too much. I don't want to do that. I don't think I have the time. I don't think I have the capacity for that. It's going to cost you. The oil cost. You can envy me. You can look at me and be like, oh, I wish I could pray like you. Do you know what this costs me? Do you know what it costs me to pour this kind of oil? And I don't pour it everywhere no more. I used to. I dust my feet off these days. Oh, you don't like it? Oh, you want to be here? God bless you. You don't I don't make people come to the cross. I don't drag people to the altar anymore. I stopped doing that years ago. I stopped making people come to prayer meetings. I stopped that. Because if you want them, you'll come. You'll show up. You'll come to the altar. I stopped going into crowds and unless the Lord told me, giving words and doing that and laying hands for people that were going to squander it. They were going to walk right back out the door and twirl. They don't want it. You got to want it. I tell people all the time, the altar is open. Everybody looking. I start packing up my stuff. I will not beg you to come to the altar to get your freedom, get delivered. You should be running to the altar. You should be running into the presence of God. I shouldn't have to ponder and ploy and tug on your heartstrings and beg you to come to the feet of the Father. You should be already on your knees where you at. Crawling to the altar. Ain't even got time to get to the altar. That's fine. That's when I'll meet you where you at. That's where he meets you where you at. Because it's not even about the space per se. It's the heart. He meets the heart. You waiting on somebody to beg you to come to Christ. Nah. Me, I'm going to pack my purse. I'm going to shut my media down. I'm going to go pray for somebody on the street. But know that you're not behind. Know that you're not alone. Know that you're not crazy. You're just carrying the cross. And when you carry the cross, what happened? What happened? When Jesus went to the cross and died, somebody tell me what happened after that. That part. Resurrection always follows. Revival. Hello. Comes. So when we obey, when we say yes, God meets us there.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.